study is part of my dissertation work that I did when I was at Hopkins, and I'm currently at the Nicholas C. Petrie Center at the University of California, Berkeley, as a postdoctoral research student. I'm going to be talking about the impact or the effects of children's emotional and behavioral problems and on their parents' liver supply. A review of literature shows that there have been concerns over the effects of high prevalence of children with EBP. And people from different perspectives, from different fields, such as sociology, epidemiology, they've tried to understand that what that really means. For instance, you've seen that the prevalence rates that vary from 13% to 20%, depending on the method used, the type of data sets, the time of studies, and so on. And on the other hand, there have been studies on the sociology literature, mostly about dramatic changes in family structures, where a high percentage of children live with a single parent in the U.S. And also, other studies have shown that children in single parent families, they're more likely to develop EBP compared to their peers living in two-parent families. Up to 40% of children with EBP in low-income, up to 40% of children in low-income families have EBPs, which is really high. Yet, and we know that when a child has emotional and behavioral problem, that can impose time, additional time, and financial constraints on the family. So, as a result, parents who have with these children may choose to either not participate in the labor force, to exit of the already in the labor force, or reduce their work hours. So, I just want to give you the motivation for why we decided to study the impact or the effects of children's emotional problems on their labor market outcomes, and we think it's a very important issue. Previous studies, mostly in the health economics literature, they've looked at the effects of children's chronic health problems, disabilities or activity or school-related limitations or some type of functional impairment. But there have been no studies they mostly looked at the labor supply of single mothers. And we all understand why is that, because this is a very vulnerable group of people, so they really want to understand what are the effects on that, especially the societal, what's the societal cause of the impact of those children on their parents, mostly the single mothers. But most of the studies have not considered the family, some of the changes, recent changes in family structures, such as cohabitation. And something that we also think is very important, they have not taken into account, is the potential endogeneity between children's health in parental and primate. As the previous speaker pointed out, endogeneity, he was looking at selection issues. In this case, I'm looking at simultaneity issues, in the sense that the child's health may impact the parent's labor market outcomes, employment. And it could be the other way, in the sense that the parent's employment may impact also the child's emotional and behavioral harm. This is a different type of endogeneity. So what we're saying is there are no studies have investigated the effects of children's EBPs on parental work activities. To be fair to other fields, there have been a couple studies in the sociology literature where they looked at those effects, but they have not accounted for the simultaneity or endogeneity that, as we pointed out earlier, and also the way they identify, meaning that there are some serious identification issues on the parents' labor market outcomes. And our intent is to overcome those issues, in the sense that one of the things we tried to do was to model the mothers and fathers' work decision jointly. We posit this is a joint decision. And the other important issue in that study is the fact that we are counting for potential endogeneity, as we saw earlier, between children's EBP and parent work activities. So the research question is how do children in adolescents with emotional and behavioral problems influence the labor supply of the single parents? This is compared to their married or cohabitating parents. Now, if you look at the model, what we're saying is the family structure is the mediating / moderating variable between the child's EVP and work activities. And we're saying that because of that relies mostly on the family's income, the family's SES. That's what makes the big difference. In order to answer that question, I use the PSID, the Pano study of income dynamics, and I used two supplements from that study. One of them is CDS1, child development supplements that was collected in 1997, and the second one was collected in 1992, and for children from 3 to 18 years old. The PSID, just to let you know, it's an ongoing panel studies that started since 1968. So I combined files from the household or family component to the individual component, and I looked at the active workforce, you mean parents between 24 and 55 years old. The sample size for the pool data, we have about about 1,100 single mothers, and we have about 2,700 married mothers and fathers. In that data set, the EBP was measured by using a 30-item parent reported scale that was developed by Patterson and Zale, which is the BVO problem checklist. The scores or they were divided. That was divided into two subscales, where they looked at externalizing behaviors, such as conduct behavior, internalizing such as anxiety and depression and so on. And the scores vary from 0 to 27. There's a total of 30 items, but two of them were not factor loaded, so they were taken out of them. And higher scores imply negative outcomes. To measure the labor force participation, it was coded as 1 if the respondent reported of working now, temporarily laid off, and so on. Log hours, I transformed that into log because of the skewed distribution for work hours. Other variables of interest, such as EBP, was coded as 1 if the total score is over 15, which is considered as the clinical cutoff point. In other general health, children's health status, such as excellent and good health, also were converted into binary numbers. Again, to answer our first research question, our estimation strategy is to use, again, an instrumental variable approach. The first question is, we're looking at this labor supply, and I used a bivariate probit model, and compare that to a univariate probit model and also a linear probability model, in this case, which is a L2-set OLS model. And I explain again, using the bivariate probit model in two SLS, again, is to take into account the endogeneity effect that we pointed out earlier, in the sense that we estimated the age and simultaneously with the labor supply of the parents. So in that case, we assume that the error terms in both models, in both, are normally distributed and are correlated, and also adjusted for correlation between observations from the same family. You mean clustering effects. And I converted the coefficient estimate from the nonlinear model, such as the probit model and the bivariate probit model, into marginal effects. Again, the second question is this time. For the log hours, I used a turbid model and compared that to the IV turbid and the 2SLS, which is a linear probability model in this case. Here are some of the results. The first question is, who are the single mothers? As you can see from the descriptive statistics here, the single mothers are, compared to married parents, they work longer hours, they participate more in the labor force, in they have children that have higher rate of EBP. Now they have lower SES, meaning their family income is lower compared to the married mothers, and they're more likely to be younger and black and have poor fair health, and also functional impairment. And children living in single parent households are more likely to be in public insurance and also have poor fair health and also have high functional impairment. Some of the multivariate results, you see that when you look at the public model compared to bivariate public model that takes into account the endogeneity or the simultaneity effect between the child's health, the child's mental health, and the parent's labor market outcome, you see that the estimates, now I'm talking about the marginal effects, and you see that there is by taking that into account, there is a higher effect. So, and we believe in this case that the single models, the bivariate public model is a very efficient model in the sense that if you look at the correlation between the residuals between the child's health and the parent's labor supply, you see that there is a high correlation in which is also significant. And the same thing for the married mothers as well, but there's no impact in, there's no correlation between the child's health and the married fathers. And on the first stage question, I control for those variables from the child's side and so on. And the multivariate again for workouts, and you see that again by taking into account, by taking endogeneity into account, we've seen a bigger effect on the parents' workouts, especially the single mothers. But there were no endogeneity between the child's health and married mothers and married fathers. Policy implications. Focus on policy to improve the labor supply of mothers. And also, some of the policy implications could be we need to establish preventive intervention programs for children with EBP, such as targeted counseling and mental health services, or could be also parental assistance with child care, unemployment, or unemployment flexibility. Just to conclude, that tells us that evidence shows that, or the results or the findings show that EBP negatively impacts the single and married mothers' labor supply. And there is also similarity between the two. And the magnitude and the direction of those effects are similar to those of children with chronic physical conditions on single mothers' labor force participation and work hours. And effects are greater for married mothers, and which is consistent with the literature and on children with physical disability. That could be explained by a number of ways, because the father is there to provide some type of flexibility in the household. And this is very important. This is why we think it's very important to model the parents' decision jointly. And also, it could be that married mothers are not eligible for child care assistance. But once married mothers supply their labor, they tend to increase their work hours as a result of the child's EBP. That could be due to additional expenses such as medical and child care for these children. And there are no effects on father's labor supply. And for future research, the question we might ask, well, what would happen if we were to provide intervention to those children in single-parent households? What impact would that have on the single mother's labor market outcomes? That's it. That's for future research.